This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand.
The sound of a cheering crowd tells it all.
Okay, it's certainly no Vin Scully, but here's the call on Japanese TV last night, the moment Japan beat the U.S. in the World Baseball Classic.
Otani ka, Trout ka.
It is March, after all, and appropriate given that, yeah, we are right in the middle of men's and women's college basketball tournaments. Here with us now are the Madcap Sklar brothers, Randy and Jason, hosts of the podcast View from the Cheap Seats. Hi, you guys.
Hi, Madeline.
Madcap.
Madcap's great. It is madness in the sports world right now in a great way. From last night, that World Baseball Classic Championship game was incredible.
I know. And it just sounds like sports broadcasting abroad is just better. I don't know.
It's just
more exciting.
The emotion. There's nothing reserved in that. And the night, the game before, Japan came back against
Mexico
mm-hmm. with a 3-run home run by a player, Morikawa, who had not hit that well throughout the entire series. And he hits a 3-run home run. The call, I would say, go listen to the call of that, because that is even more exciting than what you just heard. And Japan went undefeated in the entire, they won their whole pool play. They went undefeated, obviously.
They have the number one player in the world
Let's get to that in just a sec, but give us some context for people who don't follow baseball. What is the World Baseball Classic?
World Baseball Classic happens every couple of years, started in 2009, I believe. And it is this opportunity it's almost like I would describe it as kind of like the World Cup.
But for baseball.
But it meets the NCAA tournament in some way. But it's set up like the World Cup because
there's a group stage.
Group stage, you play in a group of four teams. And the top two teams advance then to the knockout rounds where it's you lose, you're out. So you can kind of be 3-1, like the USA went 3-1. They lost to Mexico. Mexico was 4-0. They surprised the United States team in their group play, but both the United States and Mexico moved on. And so you can make a mistake in the opening in the group stage, but once you get to the knockout round, it's so exciting.
And that was yesterday with Japan, right?
Was the finals, and it was an incredible. It's interesting. Like, we're trying to figure out why did the USA lose. Well, Japan has just an amazing team, with, like Jay said, the best player in the world, Shohei Ohtani, who plays for the Los Angeles Angels
of Anaheim
of California. I think they're just continuing to add names to that. But he's the most amazing player. For people who don't know, he hits, and he's like a tremendous power hitter. And he pitches. He's like an incredible pitcher.
Wanted him on the mound in the ninth inning to close out the game. And he closed out the game against his fellow teammate, Mike Trout, who plays also for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, California, Southern State. Let's keep adding names.
Golden
USA,
State,
the world.
USA, part of this.
But region. No, that was the a universe. Huge showdown. The fact that Japan said, we want to put the ball in this guy's hand on the mound tells you how significant he is. I mean, he's like this tall, statuesque, good-looking man, a guy who's really changing the way the world sees baseball and in many ways bringing the world up to the level of the United States and the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico, who have dominated this sport for years.
Okay, so, but they're teammates during the regular season. Right.
Yeah.
So he strikes out Mike Trout, and yet they have to go back to the locker room soon and be friends.
Yeah, they got to be friends. And believe me, Mike Trout is happy that Shohei Ohtani is on his team. And, you know, the interesting thing about Mike Trout is he had a real opportunity here to rewrite the narrative of this guy. I mean, people compare Mike Trout to names like Joe DiMaggio in the all-time greats.
Willie Mays.
You'll say about Mike Trout, he's a fantastic fielder. He's got incredible speed. He hits the ball really well. You know, he's making hundreds of millions of dollars playing for the Angels, but he's only been in the playoffs once in 2014, and they lost all three games he was in. So he has no, unlike a player in football like Tom Brady, who's won 7 Super Bowls, this guy has lost all the postseason games he's had. So I'm not saying that this World Baseball Classic could have rewritten his narrative. However, with Mike Trout standing there in the ninth, bottom of the ninth, 2 outs against arguably one of the best pitchers in the game, in his teammate Shohei Ohtani, if he hits a home run, he changes the way people think about him. Just a tiny, he moves the needle a tiny bit, and he struck out, which is not good for Mike Trout.
Right. Okay. So hanging over all of this is that Shohei Ohtani becomes a free agent at the end of this season. And so he may just flee the Angels of Anaheim, of Los Angeles, of the world.
Yeah, of the world. That would be bad for the Los Angeles Anaheim Angels of Southern California in the house. That would be bad because you now have two pieces. And Shohei Ohtani, this is just to tell you how much of a player and how great of a player he is. I always look to sort of former players, Hall of Fame players, how they view the young players. After the game, Pedro Martinez, who is Hall of Fame pitcher for the Boston Red Sox, one of the greatest pitchers of all time, and a great voice in terms of baseball. And he's kind of got old school, but he also respects the new school. He stopped the broadcast while Shohei Ohtani was there and said, and stopped everything and said, "I want to thank you for what you've done for baseball, for me, for all the fans, for everything." He did not say that to Mike Trout. He did not say that to Aaron Judge, who hit all those home runs last year. He said it to Shohei Ohtani. He said, "You're a special man." And I think if anything, Los Angeles, the Angels need to hold on to this guy as best as they can. Although there is fear in the back of your mind. You're like, oh, he's going to the Yankees. Like it's preordained.
Yeah. Or the Dodgers.
Or the Dodgers even. Oh. You never know.
Okay, well, that's okay then.
That would be bad. That would be good for
as long as he doesn't go to the Yankees. That's okay.
That's
okay.
Right.
Let's go to college basketball and talk about the UCLA men's team. They take on Gonzaga tomorrow night. And do you think they could take the whole thing? Gonzaga's pretty good.
Well, they've looked great so far. They have senior leadership. They've got guys who've been here before. They've been in this tournament. They've made deep runs. This, if they can get past Gonzaga, which is a big ask, that's a tough team to get by. Then they will probably face Arkansas, although UConn's been playing well too. If they can get through this side of the bracket, they don't have to face a tough team, I don't think, until the finals, until they face perhaps overall number one seed Alabama. Again, like this tournament has been so unpredictable. You have Princeton in the Sweet 16 for the first time ever. The first time an Ivy League school has won two games in this tournament.
And can I just say it's nice for those Princeton kids to finally have something go their way. I mean, most Princeton kids, nothing goes their way. It's just nice to see that they finally got
a win in their lives.
Right.
Another New Jersey commuter school, Fairleigh Dickinson, is also in it.
Well, Fairleigh Dickinson,
they lost,
but they won that first round game, which they beat Purdue.
It was a number one seed or number 16 seed, the lowest possible seed beating a number one seed, which a few years ago felt like it was an impossibility. And then it happened to the University of Virginia. They were number one seed. They lost to a 16 seed. So if you're a Purdue fan and you're feeling down, the very next year, Virginia came back and won the whole tournament.
But Purdue, the tournament before, lost to a 15 seed, St. Peter's, who made a deep run. So Princeton, a 15 seed, is now in the Sweet 16. Their coach, this is interesting, Princeton's coach, he was on the last Princeton team to win a tournament game. They only won their first round game in 1996. They knocked off UCLA. And so they're
defending champion.
Defending UCLA. Champion UCLA, because they won it all in 1995. So if you're looking at the men's bracket, I think UCLA has a shot because there aren't a lot of big number one teams left. Kansas lost, Purdue lost.
And probably the weakest number one team, Houston, that has struggled in this tournament to continue to advance. That's on their side of the bracket. They don't have, they wouldn't have to
face. We have to get to the women. UCLA women take on South Carolina on Saturday. I mean, so can they take the whole thing?
No,
South Carolina is defending champion, right?
They're just dominant.
South Carolina is 34-0, and typically in women's basketball, the number one team, and it's been UConn for years and years, and UConn's still in it, that's the team that usually wins it all. So my money is on, I'm not betting, but my figurative money is on South Carolina to win. UCLA's had a great year. I'm going to tell you one player to look out for in the tournament. She plays for Iowa, and they're a number two seed. They're still in the tournament. Caitlin Clark. She's maybe my favorite player on both the men's or the women's side. Watch her in this tournament. She's amazing. She's electric.
Woo! Okay. Randy and Jason Sklar, Sklar Brothers. Check out their sports podcast, View from the Cheap Seats. You guys, thank you. And we are going to spend a minute fundraising. Do you want to say anything to about what they should do?
So, of course, we love KCRW so much. We participate and do what we do on this network because we love it so much. We listen. We're avid listeners. I mean, we love Madeline. We love this show. Everybody, what you guys don't see as well are the scores of people, the sound editors, the producers, and all those other people who I can tell you they give their all to this to make this program
100%. That is so
good. So those are, they're the on-air people, but they're the people behind the scenes who are incredible.
who we know who prepare us for these segments and prepare Madeline, and they're just amazing.
Do I need so do prep it for them. For these segments?
Yes. Oh, you did great.
You're wonderful, and it is a joy to do it. So we say give, because this is a tremendous organization, not just from the voices you hear, but from the people behind it. And, you know, look, we're going to give. That offer that you were talking about, the fact that you could give $20 and it's $120 today.
It's like free incredible. Money. Free Let's money in this
we're
day
getting
age.
Off the air. We're going to get off the air and give right now.
Yep. All right, good. Do it. 800-600-5279. KCRW.com/give. Be like the Sklars and be supporters of your public radio station, KCRW. This is our spring pledge drive. We really need you right now. We need you to get in on the ground floor the first day. And as Randy said, $100, an extra $100 we get. So give whatever you need, give whatever you can. But the important thing to do is to just get in on it at kcrw.com/join. Coming up, why is it that the black character in horror movies like The Shining never gets to live?
Danny and his mother are able to escape at the end. So he does provide a means for escape, even though he doesn't himself physically, you know, save the day.
A new book explores the role of black characters in horror movies. That's next on Press Play.